your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms. I thought about this, and it's really just what has been upon my heart tonight. It's basic theology. You're not going to have nothing new, if I can say it to you like that. But I'd like to give you one verse. I'd like to dissect that verse a little and look at one verse in Psalms 119. When you found Psalms 119, why don't you stand with me? This will give you an opportunity to stretch and smile. I know many of you are tired. I know you've been, I come up, pulled into the back right around 4:30 or around in that time. I saw some were in their vehicles and they're laying down. I know what it is. I know what it is to go from service to the next service, having no place to go. And so you pull into a McDonald's and you park there. You go in and get a cup of coffee or something like that, and you're preparing for that next service. I want to say to this church, I appreciate what God has given to you. I appreciate what I see here. It's in a lot of the churches in the lower 48, you just don't find it. You don't find the sanctification, if I can say it to you like that, that's in the heart of your people, and I appreciate that so very much. I was telling the lady that's over the bales, I really enjoyed that today. This morning service was, I tell you, that was a blessing to my heart, and pastor was feeding my soul. I appreciate that, and I told him, thank you for the message that he gave. I've been in ministry with Rock of Ages right at 36 years. I have been in two churches, this being the second, that I have saw the bales. And that was precious. Keep that good work up. Amen? Keep that good work up, if you would. All right, look with me, Psalms 119. And we're going to look down at one verse tonight, Psalms 119, verse 169. Psalms 119, verse 169. I thought about another passage out of the book of Psalms, and then it just kept coming to my heart. I trust what we've got to say will be a blessing to you. Again, we'll try not to be too long. Now, we'll read the scripture, we'll have a word of prayer, and then you can be seated, please. Look with me, Psalms 119, verse 169. He says, let my cry come near before thee. O Lord, give me understanding according to thy word. Now let's pray, and then you can be seated. Our fathers, we come again to the throne. It's in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Father, it's with a grateful, thankful heart. And Lord, I appreciate so very much this privilege, this opportunity, Lord, to stand and share the word of God. But Lord, not only is it a privilege and not only is it an opportunity, Lord, it's of necessity. And as we have this opportunity, as we have this privilege, I pray, Father, please, as Paul said, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power, that your faith should stand not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Lord, help us tonight. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If there's one with us in this service not saved, do a work of grace and save that soul. If there's one that's cold and indifferent, warm that heart and draw them closer to thee. And Father, we'll bow our unworthy head and thank you and praise you. Encourage, edify, exhort, and equip. Lord, again, we'll bow our unworthy head and thank you for all that you kindly do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Look with me tonight. I want you to notice with me just one little verse. Psalms 119 is a tremendous, tremendous chapter. 100, and I'm going by memory here, 176 verses. And as you look at Psalms 119, verse 169, it has two halves. Can I say it to you like that? He says, let my cry come near before thee. O Lord, give me understanding according to thy word. If you'll study out the phrase, O Lord, you'll find it 21 times here in Psalms 119. You'll find that. And it's connecting two thoughts together. He says, let my cry come near before thee. O Lord, give me understanding according to thy word. So we see in the first half, he's talking about prayer. And in the last half, it's what I call passion, his passion that he has. And we'll look at that tonight. May I say to you, as you think about this passage of Scripture, both halves of this verse has seven little words. Let my cry come near before thee. O Lord, give me understanding according to thy word. Now, let me share with you four things to think about tonight. First of all, I want you to notice with me, starts out with his petition. He says, let my cry. I want you to understand when you see this, and let me just share this with you. It's the Hebrew word renah, and it means a creaking or a shrill. shrill sound. Hence, it speaks of a shout. It speaks of a shout of joy, or it can speak of a shout of grief. And here this psalmist, he's writing, and he says, let my cry, my petition, my desire, what I have to say, let it come near before Thee, O Lord. Lord, I want You to hear what I have to say. I want You to bring down Your ear, if You will, and give ear to my petition, and let me share my heart with You. You know, when I think about praying, and I've said this before, but I can say it again, I can look around, I can look in this church, and I can see that the prayers of God's saints have been answered. But I want to say to you that God done that because of the fact that He wanted to work here, that souls here in this area might be saved and come to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. As you think about this, as you think about your petition, as you think about your prayer life, rather than trying to share with you thoughts considering prayer, we will, I begin to think about it, and I begin to think about more so questions than I did thoughts about prayer. Let me give you some questions to think about, and you answer these within your heart, if you will, and I'd be grateful to you. But first of all, may I say to you, how often do you pray? Now you think about that. How often do you pray? How often do we seek the face of God? How often do we call upon His name? Our great state, the state of Georgia, you pray for my state, our illustrious governor has signed, it just burns my heart, a bill. He first told some Christian lobbyists that it's just like the bill that was passed in Washington. He said, I'll pass it. And then it was Coca-Cola. It was Delta Airlines. It was Home Depot. It was the Atlanta Braves and the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Falcons are owned by the man that owns the Home Depot. And big business turned his heart or swayed him. And he said, I'm not, he came along, I can't remember it verbatim, but I actually didn't hear it verbatim. I read a little of it, how he's talking about how I'm persuaded by love rather than being persuaded pressure. I want to just say to you what that bill is in essence is that if two lesbians come to me or two homosexuals come to me and say, we want you to marry us, and I refuse, then I'm in trouble. That's what we're talking about. That's where our state, that's where our country, 30 states around Georgia, and he heals to big business. When does big business have the strength and the ability to come against God's church? And so it's passed, it's in the law, it's there. It's in my heart and in my mind, when will they begin to enforce this? When will they begin to come down on the little preachers? Whatever happened to my right? I still have a prerogative. I still have a prerogative. And I can still say no. I can say yes, I won't. That's not my conviction. I'm not going to. But what I'm saying to you, and you pray that I won't have to, but what I'm saying to you is they have taken away my right for what they have. And here in this passage of Scripture, he talks about his petition. And really, that's where the key is to you and I. Our power is found in our knees as we bend and seek the face of God. That's where our power comes from. As you think about this, I'd say to you, how often do you pray? And then, secondly, how do you pray? Now, I know that seems a little strange. When I was in the Little Cumberland Presbyterian Church as a child, I remember how they taught us, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray my Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray my Lord my soul to take. God bless Mom, God bless Dad, God bless Junebug, Sissy, and me, and get us up in the morning. You know, when I got saved, I began to grow in grace and the love and the knowledge of the Lord. You know, there was two things. It seemed like every preacher that come to visit our church and our pastor would have visiting preachers in, it seemed like they were always preaching on one of two things. One, the will of God, and number two, prayer. And I would stand at awe as I would listen to men, and they would talk about the prayers that God had answered for them. And I don't know about you, but I want that same type of prayer life. I want that ability that when I bow on my knees and call out to the Heavenly Father that God will hear and answer the prayers that I pray. I used to work at a chemical company. I tell them down in the lower 48, it was a legal chemical company. You'll get that in just a minute, okay? But you know, listen, I had to deliver or I had to go and take a truck and we'd have it weighed at another chemical company, and then we'd go back and fill it up, weigh it again. It gave the gross weight of the chemical amount. And you know, I remember there was an old country preacher there. Pearly white teeth, gray hair, precious man of God. And he began to talk to me, and you know, we began to talk and fellowship, and he knew I was a young preacher. And he didn't have a lot to say, but he tried to encourage me. He'd tell me little things like this. He said, if God don't answer my prayers, I'm going to get out on my knees and find out why. That's some of the best theology that I've ever learned. He'd make the statement, well, you just pray to learn how to pray. And it made more sense to me. I've read several books on prayer, no doubt you have too. But what I'm trying to get to is simply this right here. Praying. Praying. How often do you pray? How often do you seek the face of God? If Gail and I are in a restaurant and we see someone that bows their head and offers up a blessing, I don't go into the full. I don't try to find out if they're independent, premillennial, fundamental, missionary, Baptist. I don't go into that. But as I pass by their table, if we have the opportunity, I'll say thank you for praying. Thank you for outward and letting it know that you're looking to the God of heaven that will answer your prayers. And I'm asking you, do you take that time? Do you seek His face? Do you start your days out in prayer? Do you, if you have to be at work at 8 o'clock in the morning, are you up at 7:15, sliding on the jeans or whatever, and out the door you go? Are you up at 6 o'clock in the morning? Do you have a prayer time with the Lord and seek His face and call upon Him? That's what He wants out of your life, and that's what He wants out of my life. Let me give you another thing to think about. Have you matured in your prayer life? As a child, I cited the prayer to you. Now I lay me down to sleep, pray my Lord, my soul to take. But have you matured in your prayer life? Are you maturing, if you are, in the grace and the love and the knowledge of the Lord, are you also maturing in your prayer life? Do you seek His face? Do you have a common place with Him? You know, I'll go from prophet chamber to prophet chamber, or motel to motel, and at my house, I have a place where I get up in the morning. And when I'll start the coffee, and I'm usually the first up, I'll be up around 5:30, 6 o'clock, something like that, sometimes earlier, sometimes an all-night prayer meeting from 12 until 6. But you know, listen, if I miss that prayer opportunity for that day because I'm hurried, now don't look at me like I'm not, that you're perfect and I'm not, because I feel confident you've done that too. Can I get an amen or an oh me? Thank you. But you know, listen, it never seems to fail. If I've missed that opportunity, the Holy Spirit of God, when I pass by my place, will say, you didn't meet with me today. We didn't have our time in prayer. You've not sought my face. You didn't take time to read the Scriptures, to be alone with me, and to let my words speak to your heart. And what I'm saying to you is that we need to mature in our prayer life. And then, if you will, let me just give you another one. How earnest are you in your prayers? And are your prayers being answered? Like the old country preacher said to me, if God don't answer my prayers, I'm going to get out on my knees and I'm going to find out why. You know, I ought to have down home, the old churches in the South will have what they call a rock altar. Has anyone ever heard of that? Anyone? Thank you. Amen. Two young men, two in the back. A rock altar I was in North Carolina. Let me explain it to you like this. I was staying in the prophet's chamber, fixing to preach in another church that morning and go to another church that evening. And I had a knock on the door. And I opened the door, and a man come to me, and he said, would you like to come to our prayer altar and pray with us? What the old-timers would do is they would take a rock, and they would lay that on a pile of rocks, and each rock on that rock represented a prayer that they were praying for. They were seeking the face of God. They were asking of the Lord. I went out into a well-worn track and came to that place where the men of that church would gather. There was a pine that was cut down over here. It was a place to sit. A pine cut down over here and one over here. And in the middle was kind of like, I started saying altar. It's not. It was that rock altar. It's an altar of rocks. And it represented the prayers of God's people. And what I'm saying to you is, do you have that place? Do you take that time? Do you get alone with God? Do you seek His face? Do you ask God for the help and the grace that you'll need for the unknown that comes before you in your day? And then secondly, I want you to notice with me, not only do we see his petition, but then we see also his plea. He said, come near before me. And I want you to understand, he says, hear my cry, O God. And he says, let it come near before thee. You know, I can imagine when he's talking about this prayer and he's talking about seeking the face of God, if that piano was a picture of the altar, he's wanting his prayer to go straight there. You don't want it to bounce over here and come over here and bounce over here and jump back here and maybe jump in there. He's seeking a specific place. You turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. He said, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. He said, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I believe I've said that correctly. As you look at this passage of Scripture, as you think about it, he's talking about coming to the throne of grace. In the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, when you see a child of God, they come to an old-fashioned altar. They begin to pray. And the Bible says in Romans 8:26, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. And as you kneel on your knees at that altar and as you seek His face, it's the Spirit of God that takes our prayers up to the throne of heaven. And seated at the right hand of the Father is an intercessory Savior. And as the Spirit of God takes that prayer up to you, or takes our prayer up to Him, He turns to the Father, and the Father sends back grace and mercy to help in time of need. You know, when you think about praying in the New Testament and the Old Testament, I think about men that were on there. One man that was on his bed, God gave him, I think it was 15 years. I think about how others, one, it's a parable, how he smote his chest in the New Testament. God be merciful to me, and he went home justified. You know, I've learned this about praying, and I'll give you some scripture to think about in just a minute. But I've learned this, it's not how loud, it's not how long. What God's looking at is the heart. God wants to see the heart. Let me ask you a question, using this as a type, it's my New Testament. But have you ever been praying and you've got something in your heart and you're praying about something and God says, what's this over here? But now, Lord, this is what I'm talking to you about and this is what I need to ask of you. And the Lord says, yeah, but what's this over here? Well, Lord, this is what I'm talking to you about. Have you ever done that? Well, don't look at me like I'm the only one. Amen. You know, and God wants to bring that out. And let's look at that you've had hid in the back of your heart. You know, listen, again, it's not how loud, it's not how long. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, to him that knocketh it shall be open. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The second prayer in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3 and verse 20, he says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power of God. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of James, chapter 5. I want you to notice something with me. I believe it's James, chapter 5. I'm going by memory on this. I thought I had it marked. Guess what? I don't. So just bear with me for a minute. And I believe it's about, watch me be wrong now, James chapter 5, look with me if you will, in verse 17. Notice with me what it says. Elias was a like man subject to passion as we are. And notice how he says it, as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I want you to notice three things. We see number one is passion. And I want you to understand God puts that in there. He says, Elias was a like man, just like you and I, subject to the same passion. In other words, what he's saying is that Elias got up some days and he didn't feel good. And some days he got up and maybe his back was aching. And some days he got up and maybe he felt pretty good. And some days he got up and he could get a hold of the horns of the altar and he could seek the face of God, and God would hear and answer his prayers. He's a man just like you and I. That's what he wants you to see. And then secondly, if you will, we see not only his passion, but we see his prayer. And he prayed earnestly. The word earnestly is just talking about petitions. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I believe it's the word effectual, and it talks about the boiling point. And it talks about our intensity in our praying and seeking the face of God. Do you pray, now lay me down to sleep, I pray my Lord my soul to take? What's wrong with, oh God, help me seek in thy face, Lord, I need of thee. What I'm trying to say to you tonight is that God wants you to pray. He wants you to seek his face. He wants you to receive of him. He wants to show you that he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or even think. God can do that. Many long years ago, Gail and I, we were down in Middle Georgia. I had 1,050 men at my institution, and I was chaplain there, and I began to pray. I was actually leaving the chaplaincy, and we were actually beginning to start up our new ministry, which was revival teams. And so I was going on the revival teams and later on become director of the revivals and so forth and so on. But I remember my wife told me, man, I had a 1977 Chevrolet short bed pickup truck, white letters on it, white letter, wide tires on it, dual exhaust out the back. I was hoping to get my air condition put in it next. You guys, had a fellow up in Tennessee, he painted it for me, it looked pretty good. And she told me, she said, if you're taking that car, anymore, you're going to drive that truck. Well, that truck was a good truck. 15 miles to a gallon, that's it. 70 mile an hour, 30 mile an hour. 15 miles to a gallon, that's it. And so I was driving the car because it was cheaper, and I would leave her, and she had to have two car seats in the truck for the kids. And so I began to pray, and I began to ask of the Lord, Lord, I need another car. So that means you're going to have to give me $3,000 so I can pay off the truck, I'll sell the truck and I can pay off the car. And then I began to ask of the Lord, I said, and Lord, I need at least $1,000 for a down payment. And what do you want me to get? And I said, Lord, this is what I want. I said, Lord, can I have one of those 1987 Chevrolet Caprices? Or no, 86, 87s were just coming out. I said, God, if you don't mind, I want, a vinyl top. I said, Gail wants that. I said, let me have 60-40 seats. I said, God, can I have tilt steering wheel, AM, FM, CD? Lord, we'd like to have a clock. And I said, God, if you don't mind, can we have a 350 with fuel injection overdrive transmission? I began to pray that. Hey, y'all think I'm crazy. And I said, Lord, I want blue interior if you don't mind. And I said, God, can we have the spoke wheels, radial tires? It'd get better gas mileage. We need that, Lord. Gas was high, it was about 75 cents a gallon then. And we didn't know what we was going to do. And I began to pray, and one man come and looked at my truck. He said, how much you want for it? I said, I'll take $3,100. He said, I'll give you $3,000. I'll write you out a check right now. As soon as he got out of sight, I called the bank and said, is this thing going to bounce or is this any good? They come back and they said, well, it'll be good. And I said, good, I'm coming to cash it right now. And I sold my truck. I began to pray and I began to ask the Lord, Lord, where do you want me to borrow the money at? I need $1,000 for a down payment. I said, maybe I can go here and get it on a 6-month and renew it. Or maybe I can go to two different banks and get it. And you know, listen, we began to pray about that. And we actually at this time still had the truck. It was about to be sold. And I remember that morning, my wife and I would go down to Post Office Box 187 in Eatonton, Georgia. And we go in, or I go in and opened it up. And there was a family that had supported us for $100 a month. And all of a sudden, we hadn't heard nothing from them. And it was probably 9 months that passed by that we hadn't heard nothing. And I thought, hallelujah, praise God and the Lamb. There's $100. I'll need $900. And I that's the way I was thinking. And I opened it up, pulled it out, zero, zero. Pulled it out, dot. Pulled it out, zero, zero. 0.1. It was a check for $1,000. I called Yeoman Chevrolet in Macon, Georgia. And I said, I'm looking for one of the 86 Caprices. Oh, neighbor, we've got three. Three left. This first one, I don't tell you about it. It's a cream puff. I said, sale. He said, it's white. And I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, blue interior. I said, it's got a 60-40 seat. He said, sure does. He said, it's got tilt steering wheel. AM, FM, cassette. Some of y'all don't know what that is, okay? Cassette, okay? He said, it's got a clock. I said, what's the motor? He said, oh, it's a 350 fuel injection overdrive transmission. I said, what kind of wheels does it have on? He said, spoke hub caps. I said, does it have a vinyl top? My wife wants it. He said, it sure does. It's white on white. We went down and bought that and wore that car out. That's been a while, hasn't it? Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying to you, why not dream? And why not pray big? And why not try? Listen, I bought that car not so I could consume it upon my lust. I bought that car and I prayed for that car that I might use it for His glory and His honor and that we might wear it out on the road serving our Savior. And I want you to understand that God heard and answered that prayer. And there's prayers to be answered right here amongst God's people that He can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think according to the power of God. Let me give you three things very quickly. I'll go on. May I say to you, what kind of a heart is God looking for? Number one, He's looking for a lowly heart. You look in Psalms 138 and verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet shall He have respect unto the lowly. When He speaks of the Lord being high there, it's the same as Isaiah. When Isaiah said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips and undone. And the Shekinah glory filled the temple of the Lord. It's that same thought. Though the Lord be high, He's exalted, He's the Holy One, He's the lifted one from above. That's the thought. Though the Lord be high, yet shall I have respect unto the lowly. But the proud He knoweth afar off. You know what God's looking for in the heart? He's looking for a humble heart. You know, men, I know we're not supposed to cry. We've been taught that all of our lives. And we're men, and we don't show that sign of weakness. And that is a weakness in the prisons, and many times they will use that upon another man if he does. But I'll tell you something. It seems like that when I begin to pray and cry and call out to God in that form and that manner, it's when God comes closest to me and meets my needs and answers my prayers and shows me those things which thou knowest not. Look with me, if you will, in Psalms 145 and verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to them that call upon Him in truth. He's looking for a humble heart. He's looking for a truthful or a whole heart. Let me say it like that. That's what I meant when I used this as an example, hiding things back from the throne of grace. He's looking for the whole heart. God wants a humble heart. God wants a whole heart. Again, it's not how long we pray. It's not how loud we pray. Listen to me, men. Won't you come home one night if you have the opportunity? I don't know your work schedules and so forth and so on. But why don't you get in the bed about 7 o'clock in the evening? Have mom to turn, if you have a TV on, turn it down. Unplug the telephones that are in your area, bedroom, I'd say it like that. Turn off the cells or put them on mute or put them where you can't hear them. And get up about 12 o'clock in the evening. When you get up, maybe if you drink coffee, make you a pot of coffee. I know it's got caffeine in it. Forgive me. Amen. I know. But listen, have a time where you get alone with God in the Word. And let God begin to speak to your heart before. And I'm going to tell you something. This is not going to sound spiritual, but sure does help. Write your request down. You say, why? How many times do we forget what it is that we have on our hearts? Someone says to pray for us. Someone told me the other day at the jail, they said, pray for me, right? Pray for me. And I said, all right, let's pray right now. And they looked at me and I said, if I don't do it now, I'll forget. I've got so many things running through my mind. And seek His face. Spend some time. Get alone. Get alone on the carpet. Lay prostrate. Begin to cry. Begin to share those tears. Your wife and the babies are in the bed. They're asleep. and you become that spiritual man, that, and that's only one avenue, if I could say it like that, but you become that spiritual man where you touch the horns of the altar. Your flesh will fight you all the way to the throne, but when you get to the throne and you're in the presence of God, then your soul will fight to stay there and seek His face. Why don't you do that once a month? I'm preaching to myself now because I have done that once a month. It's been a while. A whole heart, a lowly heart, or a truthful heart. And then, if you will, Jeremiah 29:13. I'm trying to hurry tonight. Listen, if I need to cut it off here in just a few minutes, Pastor, I can do that, and it'll be fine. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Jeremiah 29:13. He says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." God wants the whole heart. God wants a humble heart. God wants a truthful heart. How do we come to Him? How do we pray? Have you not come to the point and place in your Christian life? I'm not saying that if there's sin, you don't have to get rid of that. But were you commune with God? Come here, brother, for just a second. Let me say it like this, and I don't want to say it with disrespect or irreverent, but has your prayer life not come to this point in place? Can I say it like that, Pastor? You understand what I'm talking about? Has your prayer life not come to that place where you seek His face? You're going down the road, you ask of the Lord. You're walking in your job, you ask of the Lord. But oh, He answers back. He answers back. How long has it been since you've said, "Boy, thank you, Lord. Man, you sure was good to me. God, you've given me the desires of my heart." Early on when I was first saved, God gave me Psalms 37. I believe it's verse 4, maybe verse 5. Forgive me. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." How is it, Fanny J. Crosby, is it she that sings that song where we commune with God as friend and friend? Is that how she says it? "Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died." Isn't that the song? And he talks about communing with God as friend and friend. Miss Carol and Brother Jensen, We've known those people, and they've been so kind to us. And the thing that I appreciate, our friendship just kind of picks up, back up where it's left off at. Can I say it like that? And we just fellowship, have a good time, and just go along, you know? Is not that the way with you and the Lord? I remember when I started, I know it's supposed to be courting, but I was lost, okay? Dating my wife, okay? I had a 66 GTO. It stood for gas, cars, that's tires, and oil. Earl. The first night I took her home, I'm waiting to pull into the driveway. She had a little horseshoe driveway and a curve. And we're about to pull in, and I heard something go clunk, and the rear end of the car goes. And I pull on in. I said, "Well, it's still running. I guess it's okay. I don't know what's going on." I walked her up to the door, looked out there on the road. My gas tank had fell off. And that's the honest God truth. She's here. "Mama, can I take him home? Where's he live? Murray County? How long's it going to take?" And she had to take me home. The next day, I met her dad. I'm up under. This is back when I had hair. Had a cookie duster here with a Fu Manchu. Oh, yeah, listen. Oh, yeah. Red hair, you know, and everything. Amen. I'm up under. And back then, my forehead was white because I had plenty of hair. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. It's fell back here in dirt and grit, and here he comes. Lord, I'm going to meet her daddy, and I'm under my car putting the gas tank on. I didn't know the Lord, but I wanted to say, "God, help me to get out of here and get out of here in a quick hurry." Is that your relationship? Are you still back to square one?
Is that your concept? Many years ago, thank you, my brother. Many years ago, my kids were small, kind of like these right here. And I was praying. I'll quit here in a minute, okay? I'll quit. I was seeking of the Lord. I was down at our, we had a wood stove heater. I was on the carpet. And as I was praying, I just kept thinking, there's somebody near. And I looked around. Here's my son. There's my two little ones, Jessica and Brittany. They're laying beside Daddy. You know how kids are. Don't tell me you don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. If you've had a kid, you know what I'm talking about. I always pray, God, please, let my children have their own prayer life, their own relationship, their own walk with Thee. Not to be dependent upon daddies and moms, but to be dependent on You. Where's your prayer life tonight, people? Where's my prayer life tonight? What's the last thing that God's answered for you? You ladies are probably better at it. I don't have a prayer journal. Maybe I should. I just, not this Bible, but an old Bible. I would just be reading and been praying about something. God would just pull me down and say, here's your verse. And I'd trust Him for what it was. I'd put out there the date. God spoke to my heart. Let's see what happens. 6 months, maybe a year passes by. I'm back in that passage. The thing that I was requesting of the Lord has been answered. And I'd put down, this is what He'd done for me. And I'd done it in my Bible because that's what I carry with me. What's your prayer life tonight? I'll give you the last 2 points and I'll just make mention of them. There's this perception, give me understanding. And then if you will, there's this passion. You know about Psalms 119, every 8 verses. First 9 verses, I believe it is, gives the 7 names for the Word of God. It was built that way. It was designed that way. It was designed according to the Hebrew alphabet, with the exception of 3, possibly 4 verses in both English and Hebrew. There's only 3, possibly 4 verses that does not pertain to the Word of God. The passion that He had to deliver that to our hearts, that we could have that passion now, that we could pass it on, that we could share it. Is it just a book? Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways by taking heed thereto according to Thy word? This word is for you and I today. Our fathers, we come again to the throne of grace. Thank You for the liberty that we've had. I pray now, God.